And really, it's about reaching souls. It's about serving the Lord and getting out the gospel. But praise God for a good church that cares about people. And praise the Lord for Bus Ministry, a great training ground for missions, working with all types of people. And think of back in working in Gary and working on the bus route. What a blessing. But I also say one more thing helps to open your eyes to the mission field is taking a mission trip. And just, you know, you think you can't afford it, but you really can't afford not to. Because those that have went, they'll tell you you'll never be sorry. And it'll open your eyes, it'll open your heart. God will use it, even if you don't go there permanently. But I believe more of us ought to be taking mission trips. If you have children, you're trying to raise them up for the Lord, I really believe with all my heart, you ought to take them out and let them see it for themselves. Because your eye will affect your heart. And if, especially young men that are serious, I believe it's great to go out for 3 to 6 months and do a prolonged mission and trip, a survey trip. But praise God for Fairhaven, and we continue to pray for you as you see God's will moving forward. And I just want to give you a quick prayer request as we are thankful for how God is working things out. And would you pray for a young lady coming over, Joy Zadarsky? She's coming over. She's a Fairhaven graduate, and she's coming over to help us in the Christian school. So she'll be teaching for us starting this fall in September. So keep her in your prayers. She's committed to 1 year, but we believe God is putting a team together, and continue to pray that God would raise up more laborers. You know, Jesus left us one prayer request. And he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth more laborers. And there's always a need for more laborers. But I think a lot of times we forget how important this prayer request is. And Jesus wants us to pray. And people say, oh, we're praying for you, brother. We're praying your kids to go back to the mission field. We're praying that God will prepare them. But are you praying and saying, Lord, if you want mine, Lord, is there someone around here? Lord, would you raise them up? And we're praying that God would raise up laborers in the church, inside our ranks, but also from the outside, that God would raise up more missionaries. And that's what it's about today, is awareness of what a great need. And I believe that missions is the heartbeat of God. We praise the Lord for good preaching this morning and firing us up for missions. And let's go tonight to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 9 here. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. How many times the Apostle Paul, he wants to come to the church there at Rome, but he's not yet been able to work it out, and God has opened up other things and brought him in other directions. But he says, for I long to see you, verse 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. 12, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed coming to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He's thankful that no matter what, even if he didn't get to go to Rome yet, but wherever he goes, that the gospel continues to bear fruit, even as among other Gentiles. Verse 14, I am debtor. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When I preach tonight, I believe that it's not one of my easier messages to preach. Because you know, every one of us, Every one of us that are recipients of the gospel and of God's grace, we are debtors. The apostle tonight, we want to think about why he says, I am debtor. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for the wonderful word of God and that we can come together. I pray that tonight you would give me a fresh anointing of your spirit. We know that all is vain unless your spirit does a work in the hearts of your people. Pray tonight that you would, Lord, do a special work in us. Lord, continue to wake us up spiritually. Help us to see that our time is short. And Lord, there's a great need. There's an immense need for more missionaries and more of the gospel to be preached, because this is what God's plan was. And Lord, help us to see tonight that we are debtors. I pray you work in the invitation, work in the message, and all that's done tonight, that you be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing already and how you've lifted our hearts and you've challenged us and convicted us through the singing tonight. I pray you work in this message at this time. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I am debtor. Well, thinking a bit tonight about some financial terminology. I'm not an expert in any way with finances, but think about Paul the Apostle here. He says, I am debtor. He calls himself different. He has various titles in the epistles. We see Paul the Apostle. He calls him the least of the apostles. He says, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ, the bond servant. He says, I am the Paul, the persecutor, the Hebrews of the Hebrews, Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, I am the Pharisee before, the ex-Pharisee. But now he says, I am debtor. Think of the first credit card. We think of the debt crisis that so many people have to deal with today. First credit card came out in 1950 when two men came together, two businessmen. And they decided to set up a credit card, make it easier for people to put things on credit. The first credit card was called the Diners Club card. And this is sort of a status symbol. So people would use their card and, you know, I don't know what they did with it. Maybe they posted it on their shirt or something. I don't know. You know, it's bragging rights. But the credit card charged every business 7% for every transaction. Quite expensive, right? But you'd see today, and I understand, debt is very dangerous, right? And practically speaking, monetarily, there's so many people in trouble, deep trouble, with a mountain of debt. But we see here in the scriptures, he says, I am debtor. I want to bring up an illustration in Asia. If you come to a party, if you come to any kind of celebration as a guest, they're obligated to give some kind of a contribution. And so if they come to a wedding or to a birthday party or to even could be a funeral or a religious ceremony, when they make a financial contribution, they have a ledger and they record your name with how much you gave. Mr. Yum, he can validate this as well. And so they record your name, they know how much you gave, and then, you know how much you gave, they know how much you gave. So all throughout your life, if you ever have something, like if you have a party then, you expect them to come to your party, and all the times that you have given for anything as far as their, celebration or their wedding or party, then they're obligated to pay you back. And you can meet them on the street and you can just remind them, don't forget, you owe me $75. Don't forget, the day of reckoning is coming. All right? And so it's not anymore, it's nothing about, these are my friends and, we care for each other and, we just want to help them out. But it's all about financial relations. They are in debt to each other, and there's all these connections with these financial dealings. When we have a wedding or anything in our church, they're like, okay, people, we're just, everybody can give whatever they want, and we're not keeping a ledger, right? That's out. Because we're not going to be indebted, in debt to each other. But we're going to talk about some things tonight. Think about being in debt. I just want to start out and say, praise the Lord. When we say that we're debtors, we are not in debt to our sin account. Praise the Lord that nobody has to work to pay off your sins. In Cambodia, they have a saying in Buddhism, and they say, if you have sin, then you have to do more good things. They say, me and Bob, me and Bon. So you have to do a lot of religious things. Okay, you have to go to the temple for a while, be a monk for a while. You have to give lots of offerings to pay back your sins. But I tell you tonight, praise the Lord, in Jesus Christ, all who are in Jesus Christ, the Bible says he became sin for us. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood, without blemish and without spot. And therefore, if you are in Jesus Christ tonight, aren't you thankful tonight that your sin debt has been paid? You have absolutely no sin debt because it has been wiped out. It's wiped clean. Jesus took away your sin debt because he took all of your sin and my sin upon himself. Therefore, I am debt free. I don't know how many of you all had financial debt and you came to that one day and you said, that's it. And you paid it all off. And that heavy load of guilt or that heavy load of just that debt that's hanging over you. And that's finally paid off and you're debt free. But praise God, something so much greater than monetary debt. We have been cleansed from our filthy, wicked sin account. You are debt free in Jesus Christ. So thankful that we have the righteousness of God applied to my account. We are justified in you. And you study in the doctrine of justification, praise the Lord. We didn't earn it. We did nothing for it. And yet you can be justified in Jesus Christ because of the wonderful work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Philippians 1:18, I think of, not Philippians, but it's Philemon. I think of the example of Paul. Sort of a picture of Jesus Christ when he wrote this letter to Philemon and he said, if Onesimus, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, he said, put that on my account. Whatever he owes you, Paul said, put that on my account. Aren't you thankful that our sins have been put on Christ's account? That he nailed our sins to the cross. And he gave us his righteousness. I want to think tonight about several questions to arouse our minds to think more clearly about this problem, I guess, this dilemma of debt. First question tonight is, what causes someone to become a debtor? What causes someone to become a debtor? Would you think with me tonight? First of all, what causes someone to become a debtor is when you receive something of great value without paying for it. It's kind of in the secular reasoning as well. You receive something of great, incredible value without ever having to pay for it. Think about financially how you walk in a bank and you ask for a loan on the basis of your good name, of your credit history, of your credit score. They approve your loan, and you walk out of the bank with a check or with a line of credit. You have done nothing for it. You haven't worked for it. You haven't earned it. But it's given to you freely. You're still obligated to pay it off, right? But you receive something of great value without paying for it. Therefore, you become a debtor. You become a debtor to that financial institution. I think of an illustration how sometimes somebody does something for us and we are obliged to repay that favor. Probably a year ago when I was back here in the States, and I decided to take somebody to eat at Bob Evans, and it seemed like a good place to eat. We went out there for breakfast, and it's a friend in the ministry, and so I said, well, we're going to go out to eat, so I'll put the bill, and just look forward to have a good fellowship. And so, you know, sometimes when you're going out with somebody, and you think, well, I'm going to take care of everybody at the same table there, and I'll put the bill. And so when the bill comes out, whoever grabs for it first. I went up and I said, well, I didn't get the bill yet. We were done eating. Where's the bill? And they said, well, there's another person that came into the restaurant and they saw us eating and they already grabbed the bill. So praise the Lord. We got to eat on somebody else, right? They took care of it. What I'm saying is, if that person came to the restaurant again, I would feel obliged to say, I want to take care of them. I want to treat them once, because they already did it for us. So if you receive something of great value, I know just going to lunch really isn't a great value, or breakfast, but you're obliged. We feel indebted. But much more than paying for a lunch, or much more than getting a bank loan, let me tell you that in Jesus Christ, we have received a great salvation of great value for which you have never earned it. You can never work for it or afford it. We can't pay for it. And yet you get the most wonderful blessings of salvation for all eternity. We have so much in Jesus Christ. Every minute of every day, we are enjoying the fruits of our salvation. We have something of great value that we have never earned, and therefore we are debtors. Think of how good God has been to us. Look even in the verses here, because look at verse 16 again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ which came to us, free of charge. How many times in the epistles we see, in fact, I told you this before, 75 times the Apostle Paul, he brings up the gospel, how thankful he is, and many times he mentions the gospel in the New Testament here. Think of not only are we debtors because we have received the gospel, but we have also received God's righteousness. Look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Because of simple childlike faith, we have received the righteousness of God on my account. Do we deserve that? Of course not. Can we pay for that? Can we pay it back? Of course not. But we are debtors. Think of how because we receive something of great value without paying for it. Can I mention something else while we're thinking of all that we've received? We also have the glorious grace of God to sustain us from day to day. Just the grace of God upon us, which we do not deserve as well. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You, my friend, today are living because of the grace of God. God has allowed you to receive so much, so richly blessed. In America, we are so rich. We are so blessed to live here in a prosperous country. And yes, so many problems and so many weaknesses. And so many times, it's sad to see what's coming down and what's going on in politics or whatever it is, or just people's response to everything and the issues of daily life. But understand, my friend, that you are a recipient of God's grace. We do not deserve what we have today. How is it that you were born in America? How is it that you were, we wouldn't say fortunate enough, but you were born to be in the 5% of the world's population, and you had nothing to do with it. You are a recipient of the grace of God. You have received that grace, and how many times people are so unthankful. They have so much. They have everything at their disposal. And we have the stimulus money. You have all this, everything coming down, and people are still miserable. You know, can't get enough. All the gadgets, everything else, still can't get enough. But I tell you, my friend, more important than anything else, we are recipients of the grace of God. The grace that is upon us, that is around us. We have a church, we have friends, we have the Bible, we have Jesus Christ, and we have his grace. Therefore, we have received so much. Let me tell you also, secondly, when you have something that others desperately need. When you have something that others desperately need. I think of an illustration here in the case of a hurricane. You know, years ago we've had hurricanes in the United States. And what happens is in the states where, you know, further north, they haven't experienced a hurricane. But they'll gather up their blankets, dried foods, whatever they can, any way they can help, and send it to those people that have no place to stay. Those people that have been put out of their homes. Because they have something that others desperately need. I think of some that are in a flight, you know, flying overseas or whatever it is. In the case of an emergency, someone may have an asthma attack or basically a life-threatening emergency. And they're in mid-flight. They get on the intercom and they ask for doctors. They ask for nurses. They ask for paramedics to tend to this victim here, to tend to this person has a fatal emergency. When you have something that others desperately need, then it's our moral obligation to step up and to do what we can to help that person, right? In Judeo-Christian culture that we live in, if we have something that others desperately need, it's our moral obligation to do something about it. And what I want to do is point out that tonight we have something that the rest of the world desperately needs. The greatest need in Cambodia tonight is not more rice markets. The greatest need is not more education, although they could use more education. The greatest need is not more infrastructure, more business, more economic relief, and the greatest need is not for all these charitable contributions, but I tell you the greatest need tonight is that more churches and more missionaries to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. One preacher said it this way, man's greatest need is to see his greatest need. Because you can go there and you can have all that you tell, you know, you can preach the whole Bible from cover to cover to them. But if they don't understand their greatest need is Jesus Christ and the chairs, you know, sit in the auditorium and there's dust on the chairs. Nobody wants to come in. It takes a long time for them to see their greatest need. I tell you tonight, we have Jesus Christ. We know the truth. We know that if they don't believe on Jesus Christ, they're going to go burn in hell. They have a soul that is going to go on into eternity. When you have something that others desperately need, what are you doing about it? In Cambodia, there's a proverb. It says, it's all in who you know. So if you want to get some work done, if you want to get some paperwork through or registration with the government, whatever it is, if you want to get that expedited, it's all in who you know. Your connections are everything. And can I tell you tonight that connections, spiritually, it's all in who you know, isn't it? It's all in who you know. All that they have known is Hinduism. All they've known their whole life is their spirit gods everywhere. Oh yeah, they respect Buddhism, but then they follow Hinduism. And it's all this circular reasoning, it's reincarnation, and it's karma. And it's, you know, trying to follow the teachings of Buddha as well. But it's all this circular reasoning. Everything's relative. Nothing is black and white. And these folks all their life have been told there's multiple gods around them. And then when we tell them there's only one true God, and some of them laugh in your face, they take a tract and throw it in the dirt. They throw it in the garbage. But you know, Jesus wants us to understand there's a great work he wants every one of us to be involved in. We have something they desperately need. This world desperately needs Jesus Christ. And they desperately need Christians who are on fire to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, when you accumulate your resources to pay back the obligation. You're a debtor when you accumulate your resources to pay back the obligation. If you're in deep financial debt, they tell you, well, maybe you should sell that car and drive a cheaper car. There are debt counselors who try to help people with their issues of personal debt. And they say maybe there's a hobby or some personal property and you'd get rid of these non-essentials. And to really focus in and take care of that debt and, you know, tight spending and all that. But I tell you tonight, as debtors, that it is worth using our resources, whatever it takes. Count the cost. It may mean that we give up some things. That we give up some leisure. We give up some amenities. Give up some comforts. Because we are debtors. You and I, my friend, tonight, we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. And we are recipients of his grace. We are debtors to the rest of this world. Second question tonight, to whom was Paul a debtor? We see it here in verse 14, Romans 1:14. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. The Greeks, we know they were the ruling culture of that time. The Greek language was a trade language of the time. And so the wise people were those who studied Greek and Greek culture. And then he says the barbarians, these were the uneducated people. These were those that were not so intellectual. All right? So both to the wise and to the unwise. And what is he talking about? He's talking about all classes of people. The entire spectrum of people. I am debtor to all people. I tell you, my friend, tonight, we are debtors. Fairhaven Baptist Church is a debtor to this generation. We are responsible to get the gospel to this generation. We cannot reach the future generation. We cannot reach those that have gone before, but we can reach our generation, and these are all people. Praise the Lord this morning in Acts 1:8, both in Jerusalem and in Judea. We saw that. The point about doing everything simultaneously, both here at home and abroad. And here at home, you have a mission for you. It's all around you. You have people that need the Lord and people that are hurting, people that are grieving, and people that are under the load of terrible sin. I remember in church as a young person, there'd be a sign above the door in the back. You are now entering the mission field. There's a mission field all around us. I'm thankful for a pastor that cared enough about souls to tell us as young people, you ought to pray about going to the mission field. You ought to pray about what the Lord wants you to do in ministry. But leave it in the Lord's hands and surrender to him. Go to Bible college and prepare yourself to do whatever God wants you to do. Can I say tonight that Fairhaven Baptist Church, we have a responsibility to this generation, both at home and abroad. There are thousands and hundreds of thousands, even millions of people that are in cities all across Asia that maybe have one independent Baptist church. Maybe you have one, or some have zero. Some have none. We have a great responsibility to send out the gospel, to send out more missionaries. Because the Bible says God so loved the world. God so loved the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The gospel is colorblind. The gospel is for all people. All people, all nations, all tongues, all tribes. The gospel is for all. Who would have all to come to the truth. God wants all men to be saved. We are indebted to the people of this world. Yes, we're indebted to God, but we are indebted to our generation. Our time is short. We are indebted to get the gospel to this generation. Therefore, he says he's indebted to all people, the wise and the unwise. You see that this was the mind of God even before the New Testament. We can see that God had global evangelization in mind. In the book of Psalms, who ever thought the book of Psalms would be a book of missions? But 175 times in the book of Psalms, there's to all nations, to all the earth, okay? To all people, to the heathen. He's not just referring to the children of Israel. He's referring to all people of that time. And he wants all people of our time to know the gospel truth, to know Jesus Christ. But instead, the devil has held these people in his grasp, and he's fooled them with all these other false gospels. There's all these other Asian religions. Oh, there's gods everywhere. How do we know which one is the true God? Oh, I'll be Buddhist and Christian. It's like a fat and skinny person, right? I can be both. Well, they believe they can. Well, I'll be Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, and Islam. And they're just lining up like these are insurance policies. And if one doesn't work, then maybe the other one will. They'll even put your track up there on their spirit altar. Well, these are all my deities, all my gods. I tell you, church, tonight, we have an obligation, a moral duty, to get the gospel out to as many people as we can. What does God want me to do? He wants us to be concerned and to pray and to seek to help to reach out to this generation. Not only did he feel an obligation to the generation, but I believe there's an obligation to God himself. He feels indebted to Christ. Hudson Taylor said, if I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all for China. But he said, no, not for China, but for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ. You see, the entire plan of missions is all about glorifying Jesus Christ. It is for him. And if you think about Romans 12, and we know these verses, Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You want to turn over there? Let's go over there. Romans 12, 1. The truth is, we really can never pay back anything that God has done for us. God doesn't ask us to pay him back. He doesn't ask us to pay our debt to him. But I believe the next thing to it, he does say, in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Who is God? Well, look at verse 36 in the previous chapter. For of him and through him, chapter 11, verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then he says, he wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I say it's only reasonable that we serve the Lord? It's reasonable even though we can never pay him back, but we feel indebted to him. Indebted to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that his poverty might be rich. We have so much in Jesus Christ. We are indebted to so many people around us as well. Now you've got to take time to mention all of them. But praise the Lord, God has given you people to teach you, to pastor you, to help you. Authorities in your life, mentors in your life, people who have influenced you in the right way, hopefully in a good way, and have blazed the way before you. Praise God for missionaries who gave their lives and got on a ship and sailed for months to get over to Africa or Asia to open up those countries to the gospel. Cambodia, although not a direct not directly involved in missions, yet we have received so much because of these other countries opening up to the gospel. But you think about it, every one of us, we are indebted. I love the song about faithful men who have gone before us. There are many who have pioneered, who have blazed the way for us so that we can enjoy the Christian life, enjoy church as we have it tonight. But can I remind you tonight, because of what we see here, we are debtors as well. Number three, how did Paul pay back his debt? This is really what we come down to applying it to us. How did Paul pay back his debt? The truth is, every one of us tonight, we could talk about how people owe us. Well, my friends, I've done things for them, they owe me. Or maybe your wife, your children, they owe you. Maybe someone else, business partner, they owe me. But I tell you tonight, every one of us, we have a great amount of debt. Although our sin debt has been wiped away, we are debt free, yet we are also a debt free debtor. We are a debtor because of the gospel. Romans 1:16, read it again if you would. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Look at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. What I'm trying to say tonight is that we have a debt. And the Apostle Paul says, I am debtor. How did he pay back that debt? I believe first of all, boldly proclaiming the gospel. Boldly proclaiming the gospel with all that he had, not holding back in any way, but he got serious about evangelizing the world for Jesus Christ. You understand that Matthew 28:19 is not the great suggestion, it is the great commission. The great commission says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. 50 years of Fairhaven Baptist Church, praise the Lord. 50 years preparing young people to go into ministry, praise the Lord. Praise God for what he has done. But I exhort you tonight, are we really praying about teaching all nations? Are we willing to open our eyes and to receive what God sees and what God wants to do? And maybe God doesn't need you to leave and go to the mission field, but I believe there's many young people, and God would use us to put missions in front of them. And so many graduates and so many are finishing up schools and seeking for higher degrees, but it's all about a career. It's all about making money. It's all about climbing some corporate ladder. But I tell you, church, tonight, we have a sacred responsibility. We are debtors to the gospel. We are debtors to preach Jesus Christ and the gospel of God to the uttermost parts of the earth. 16 million people in Cambodia tonight. Northern part of Cambodia, very open to churches. And we can openly evangelize. And for quite a while, because of the pandemic, We had many restrictions. 15 people here, 15 people there. We just split our services. But I tell you, many, many untouched villages, provinces, cities that are waiting for someone to pioneer the gospel. I tell you, tonight we have a responsibility to get out and to pray that God would raise up more that want to present the gospel, more to evangelize. I remember one man looking me in the face and he said, "What about my grandparents? They never had a gospel witness. They never had a missionary come and tell them what the Bible says, how they can be forgiven of their sins and they can go to heaven." If the gospel is so true and the gospel is right, and that if we trust in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, we can go to heaven. If that's all true, then what about my grandparents? They died in Buddhism, and they didn't have a chance. I looked at the man in his face, and I didn't know what to say. The gospel wasn't here. They couldn't understand it. They didn't hear. Can I tell you why? I don't know. But his question was, why did you wait so long to tell us? Why did you wait so long to come? The gospel is only good news if it comes in time. The gospel, Jesus Christ, wants his gospel to be preached. Think of the Apostle Paul. He's standing there before King Agrippa, a man with all of his pomp and all of his riches and fancies, and he's sitting in his throne, and Paul is standing in front of him as a prisoner. And he got to give his testimony to Agrippa. And he said, Would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Would to God that everyone had the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would to God that we would get busy, we would get serious about the incredible task that God has given us. You may go to work, but remember you're working with lost people. You may go to school. Are there lost people there? Are there lost people at the store? Are there lost people on the way? There are lost people whose souls are hanging in the balance. And we owe a great debt. Every one of us, we owe a debt. It's not a debt that we can just pay off, but it's a debt that we continue to pay back. Every day of our lives, we are paying on that debt. Oh, I understand. Praise God for ministries, and praise God that we are paying our debt. You pay your debt by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the truth is, when you got saved, you're ready for heaven. Jesus could have said, "Well, good to go. Hey, your sins are forgiven. Your name is in the book of life. Hey, let's go to heaven. Let's be with Christ. It's wonderful." Nothing wrong with that. Could have taken us to heaven immediately. But instead, he leaves us here on the earth. And he gives us a work to do. We have to take care of our families, I understand. We live in America. We can enjoy some of the things that God's given us. That's fine. But don't forget, what is the heartbeat of God? God wants to use us to glorify him. He wants to use us to preach his word and to lead people understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. This lady that died a year ago named Akira, 32 years old, and she was a lady that did not live for herself. She lived for others. 6 months before she died, we had a baptism Sunday. And I have a picture of her with at least 3 of her converts that she had led to the Lord. She took them through the salvation booklet, and she got to lead them to Christ. And those people she led to the Lord are still in church today. And I could eyes in heaven. But praise the Lord, she wasn't concerned about how much she could get in life, but how much God wanted to use her and would help her in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you bold in preaching the gospel tonight? Every one of us, if we are worth our salt, there's going to come times that God urges or God speaks to our heart and he gives us opportunities to witness wherever we are. Do we have a track in our pockets and are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we bold to preach the gospel? Because God wants his gospel to be preached and he uses people to get out his gospel. Are we boldly preaching it? Think of how much we owe a great debt. We are rich tonight. We are blessed tonight. We have the grace of God every minute of every day. But I tell you, we have a mountain of debt. And that debt is not, it is not something that is a burden. Not something to weigh us down and put us in despair, but it's the back of our minds. We need to remind ourselves why we're here on this earth. God has given us a work to do, and he is helping us. It's not that we do it on our own. Praise God that we have the power, as it's saying about tonight, we have the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us to be a witness for him. Think of how God wants us to continue to pay back our debt. The debt we have is a debt to this world, to give them that story of Jesus Christ. And let us not be guilty of hiding the gospel. Secondly, I want to give you quickly before we get done tonight, think of something else we owe a debt. And let's go to Romans 13, verse 8. I am debtor. Romans 13, verse 8. Not only am I a debtor to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the Bible says here, owe no man anything. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Can I tell you tonight, we have another debt. And how we pay back the debt is through love. God commanded us, love one another. Are you paying on your debt of love tonight? Are you loving the brethren? Are you loving those that are outside as well as those that are inside? Are you loving the way God wants you to love? Because God has filled you with his love, he teaches us how to love others. We can love the unlovable. We were reminded of that on Thursday night, weren't we? The power of compassion. Moving from a burden to compassion. Think of that one story of that young lady. Because they closed down the bus ministry, she had no one to reach out to her, to bring her in and to connect her with Jesus Christ. No one to love her. And what a tragedy that was. Thank God that God loved us, and he teaches us to love one another, to love all people, regardless of their status, regardless of their background, regardless of their nationality. God wants all people to know his love. Are you portraying the love of God in your family? Are you portraying the love of God in his church? Are you betraying the love of God in getting out the gospel with love? God wants all people to know his love. Think about how much we are indebted tonight. William Carey said this about his life. He said, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't really matter. Did you know there's a lot of things in our lives that don't really matter? There's a lot of things that we would say in Missouri, we'd say don't amount to a hill of beans. It really isn't going to matter in a month from now or a year from now. But can I tell you that what you decide for God tonight is going to matter for eternity? What you decide to do with your debt is going to matter for eternity. And all of us are indebted. May we every day of our lives every day of our lives be reminded, I am so blessed. I am so thankful. I serve a great God. It's only a reasonable service. Oh, well, it's my life. I can live it however I want. For you, child of God, it is not our lives. It is His life. It is His work. God wants to use us. He wants to work in us. But so many of us are so selfish and so proud. And we are so filled with our own ways. What about those things that don't matter? Are you paying your debt tonight? Do you love the way God wants you to love? Do you preach the gospel through your speech as well as through your life? God wants His word. He wants the world to be evangelized by His word. Another missionary, Jim Elliot, said this, "The will of God is always a bigger thing than we bargain for." He said, "Lord, make my way prosperous, not that I achieve high station, but that my life might be an exhibit to the value of knowing God." God wants our lives to be an exhibit of the value of knowing God. And he said this as well. He said, "Dreams are tawdry when compared with leading of God, and not worthy of the aura of wonder we usually surround them with." He said, "My dreams, they're not worth anything when compared with the leading of God." He said, "God only doeth wonders. He does nothing else. God is worthy. God wants His work to be done." I ask you tonight, are you paying the debt? Well, I'm dressing good. I'm checking things off. I'm doing my duties. Are you paying the debt of the gospel of God? Are you paying the debt of love? Do you understand that we are debtors tonight? Will you surrender yourself and say, "Lord, whatever you'd have for my life, greatest thing you can do with your life is to serve Jesus Christ." Serving the Lord on the mission field is not a duty. Serving the Lord on the mission field is not a sacrifice. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's the greatest thing you could do with your life. Don't feel sorry for us. Serving the Lord, and you all know this as well, it's the greatest thing you can do in your life. And teach your young people, you can serve the Lord. There's no special formula. There's no recipe to it, but just follow God's word and preach God's word. And let God do the work. Stay humble, stay close to God. My friend, tonight we owe a great debt. And our debt tonight is to a lost and dying world. The time is short. Redemption draweth nigh. And Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." My friend, tonight our time is limited. A month ago, I got a call in the middle of the night from the young man in the video. His name is Sal. Been saved for about 7 years. He's been praying for his dad, praying hard for his parents. They're Buddhists. They want nothing to do with Christianity. They're upset because their children want to come to church. And they have to, sometimes, they have to get all the work done at home and their studies and then run off to church, get ready, come in. Sometimes they're late for services. But they had to do all their work at home. And I told you this a year ago that his dad pulled him in, gave him an ultimatum, and he said, "I'm going to cut out all the support I gave you, take your motorcycle, your phone, your money. You have to start fending for yourself because you don't want to give up your Christianity." And besides, he took it very seriously. He told his dad, he said, "I cannot give up my Christianity. I cannot give up Jesus Christ." But can I tell you that very sad, because a month ago, his dad, because of his habit of drinking, habitual drinker, he, 53 years old, went out into eternity. Without God and without hope, he died of a stroke. Misal is very broken and very, very torn up about it. I continue to pray for him because he's wanting to serve the Lord and he's doing good, doing right. But he's praying now that God would open his mom's heart. And there's already some signs that she's listening more, especially since her husband's death. But I remind us tonight, our time is short. We don't know how much longer. You have unsaved family, just know that things will not always continue as they are now. Understand that we owe a great debt. What a great privilege we have to be the children of God. What a great privilege. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. We have joy and peace. We have a relationship with our Father. He's always with us. Never leave us nor forsake us. And he reminds us tonight, we are debtors. We are debtors, not debtors because of our sin. Our sin's already been taken away. But we are debtors to preach the gospel, and we are debtors to love one another, to show what he has done for us, to be channels of his love.